With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. Tracking global corruption and threats that undermine our security.
Through the Looking Glass.
This is Through the Looking Glass with Scott Wheeler on TNT Radio.
Welcome to Through the Looking Glass. I'm Scott Wheeler, broadcasting on TNT Radio from Washington, D.C. We have breaking news on several fronts. We're going to get to them in due time through the broadcast. Starting now, this is breaking news in Epoch Times by reporter Joseph Hanneman, who has been on this broadcast in the past. He is reporting that a group of self-identified Antifa supporters who wanted, quote, civil war and revolution, unquote, on January 6th, sought online blueprints for federal buildings so they could firebomb them and discussed using a Roman Legion formation to attack police lines, a September 15th court filing alleges. Now, this is by one of the defendants. This is very important. There is video. I saw it. I saw the video of these Antifa people on January 6th in Washington, D.C., being detained by police. There were several things that were that stood out. One of them was how gently and carefully the police handled them. That was very bizarre for a police department that typically handles a lot of dangerous people. But anyway, they were very careful. You can see the video. One of the you could see equipment like gas masks in the vehicle. So these people were here for war. And it says they discussed using a Roman Legion formation to attack police lines. Now, I did take photographs of a legion of black block. That's what they called the Antifa uniform. They were clad in black block and they were marching in a Roman column down right near the Capitol. I photographed that myself on January 6th. So this is rather big, because remember, no one's ever alleged an Antifa conspiracy except me. On this broadcast, I was there and I saw Antifa. Now, I saw Trump supporters engaging in riotous behavior. I've been upfront about that from the beginning. But there were some that were androgynous. We don't know if they were Antifa dressed up like Trump, because some of them were there. Trump supporters, that is, Antifa members dressed up like Trump supporters, engaging in riotous behavior. But some were clearly Trump supporters, because I interviewed them a number of times that day and since then. And there's no doubt they were Trump supporters. But this adds a new wrinkle to this. And it's something that myself and only a handful of other journalists have been raising since the beginning of this. And that is the possibility that Antifa was conspiring to do damage and to engage the Trump supporters in a fight, and also themselves attack the Capitol. We know this has happened because there was one of the first people in was an Antifa guy into the Capitol, and he broke out a window in the process. You don't hear a lot about that in the news media. Going on with Mr. Hanneman's report, defendant William Pope of Topeka, Kansas, included this information in a renewed U.S. District Court push to compel federal prosecutors to produce all body cam footage and video filmed by the Metropolitan Police Department undercover officers on January 6, 2021. Now, you can see this. The video we have is from the Antifa guy who was videotaping it as the police pulled him over, got him and two others to evacuate the car. And that's when they started looking through their bags. You could see the equipment they had. They were there for business, serious riot business, for sure. Mr. Pope, 37, is publisher of a news website, Free State Kansas, was at the Capitol on January 6th covering the protest and subsequent violence. He's been charged with a number of things, disorderly conduct and going into the Capitol, et cetera, et cetera. According to Pope's latest motion, Metropolitan Police Department officers made a traffic stop at 10:15 a.m. on January 6th of a vehicle containing three Antifa operatives, Jonathan Kelly, Logan Grimes, and Dempsey McCullough. Quote, undercover officers who stopped their vehicle said they had received reports the individuals were carrying weapons, Mr. Pope wrote. Quote, no footage of this incident has been produced by the government in discovery. However, Kelly, one of the Antifa guys, live streamed part of the police stop to Facebook. That's how we got the video. Mr. Kelly refused to allow police to search his vehicle, so they sent for a dog to sniff the vehicle for contraband. A little over 10 minutes into Kelly's live stream, a team of uniformed MPD officers showed up to replace the undercover police, Mr. Pope wrote. These uniformed officers wore body cameras and instructed Grimes, Kelly, and McCullough to get out of the vehicle while they waited for the dogs to arrive. At least two of the undercover officers who made the traffic stop were wearing colorful bracelets that identified them as members of MPD's Electronic Surveillance Unit, ESU, which gathered intelligence and shot video around Washington and the Capitol on January 6. Nearly 30 members of the Electronic Surveillance Unit were assigned to duty on January 6, 2021, some of whom were gathering evidence on crowd activity. Members wore a special band on their left wrist to identify themselves as part of the unit, according to the MPD's 96-page January 6 action plan. We are Antifa. The trio of Antifa adherents created a video of themselves singing, "We are Antifa," on their drive from Michigan to Washington, D.C. That's where they were from, Michigan, for the January 6 events, according to the video exhibit filed by Mr. Pope with the motion. Metropolitan Police arrested Mr. Grimes, who identifies as a woman and uses the name Leslie, for carrying a pistol without a license and being in possession of a high-capacity magazine and unregistered ammunition, according to Mr. Pope. So think about this. All the people being charged for an insurrection, and not one gun found on a Trump supporter. Those who have been detained, many have been in jail for over a year without even facing trial yet, without even a bond hearing. You've got people being sentenced who, in the case of Terrio, weren't even there, receiving 22 years. And so far, the only people who showed up with guns was Antifa. Let that sink in for a minute. Where is the news media other than this broadcast and Joe Hanneman and a few handful of others? Where is the rest of the news media who ought to be demanding answers to this? If you want evidence of the decline of our country, we talked about this the previous 2 weeks. Belief in the media is down to 20%. Here's one of the reasons. Why does no one know the only people in Washington, D.C. who were armed on January 6th were Antifa? Any news coverage of January 6th that does not include those facts is propaganda. The U.S. Department of Justice has deemed the Grimes arrest relevant enough to the January 6 cases to produce body camera footage from the officer who transported Grimes from the scene of the arrest to the booking facility, unquote, Mr. Pope wrote. Quote, but the government has withheld recordings from the many other officers who were on scene during the stop, vehicle search, and arrest, unquote. Charges against Mr. Grimes were dropped a day later on January 7, 2021. Dropped. charges, gun charges. So a guy show a carload of three Antifa guys show up in Washington, D.C. for a riot with guns, and the charges against them were dropped. The lack of prosecution compared to the other January 6 cases, and the fact that the government continues to hide information about the ESU officers who conducted the Antifa car stop and body camera recordings demonstrates the government is intentionally concealing information about this Antifa seditious conspiracy. Mr. Pope wrote, such information is exculpatory in my case, unquote, says Mr. Pope. Wow. This should outrage everybody. This should should have members of Congress holding hearings and demanding answers. Where are these answers? While people are being sent to prison for decades for quote unquote insurrection, the people who actually showed up with weapons had charges dropped against them. This isn't easy to answer. We're going to ask, we have an attorney who's going to be joining us right after the break. He's also a retired U.S. Marine Corps Colonel, Fred Peterson, who's also been on this broadcast in the past. He's going to join us. He's going to help us unpack some of this. We're also going to get to the Hunter Biden indictment, and we will also cover this hour the impeachment inquiry in the House of Representatives. So you'll want to stay tuned for more on Through the Looking Glass. This is Scott Wheeler broadcasting on TNT Radio from Washington, D.C. Stay tuned.
You should hear what Joe Hoft is talking about.
Went to an event last night in Southern Florida, and there was two great speakers there. One is Mel Kay. Just fantastic summary of the evolution of really the world, I'd call it the world deep state. Those that believe that they have the best answers for everybody. The same group that wants to basically eliminate a huge percentage of the world's population. The same group that that really runs the banking systems around the world. She shared some things about the Fed that just blew me away. The money that we pay to the Fed doesn't come back to the U.S. Individual people. I didn't know that. Just really blew me away. Quite a story. She talked about a lot of Nazis after World War II were captured, and she said they were basically split up between Russia and the U.S. And the guy that ran NASA was a Nazi originally. And there's just some people that infiltrated this country at top levels in education, etc. They're just Nazis, and it certainly shows this group had quite an influence on this country.
Joe Hoft on today's News Talk Radio, TNT. A better business tip from TNT Radio. One reason people tune in to TNT Radio is often because they're loyal to a specific show or personality. Our personalities have been a part of people's daily routine, and people continue to tune in. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. Investigating and reporting on government corruption and overreach, national security, national and international issues. You're listening to Scott Wheeler and Through the Looking Glass on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to Through the Looking Glass. I'm Scott Wheeler, broadcasting from Washington, D.C. on TNT Radio. Going into the break, we were talking about Antifa not being charged for showing up on January 6th, 2021, with arms, weapons, and gas masks and other riot activity gear and not being arrested. This also is from the Hanneman Report in Epic Times. Antifa supporters Logan Grimes, Dempsey McCullough, were two of the three Antifa operatives communicated using a server on the social media platform Discord. Discord is the method at that time that Antifa was using to communicate. That server, nicknamed Insurgents, was managed by John Earl Sullivan, the Black Lives Matter activist who filmed the shooting of Ashley Babbitt near the House of Representatives on January 6th. Mr. Pope wrote, yes, Jonathan Sullivan was the aforementioned person. John Sullivan was the aforementioned Antifa person who broke into the Capitol, was one of the first in. They were communicating with him over a program within Discord called Insurgents. You couldn't make this up. If this were a science fiction movie, you'd have a hard time believing the people who weren't doing this were charged with insurgency. The people who were actually engaged in an insurgents, armed insurrection, have not been charged. Charges were dropped, with the exception of John Earl Sullivan, who's been charged for something minuscule by comparison. Mr. Sullivan, 29, of Tool, Utah, is charged with 10 January 6 crimes, including civil disorder, obstruction of an official proceeding, unlawful possession of dangerous fire, Capitol grounds, disorderly disruptive contact in a restricted building or grounds, dangerous weapons, and other federal charges. He faces an October 23rd trial in Washington. Yeah, we'll see how that goes. Quote, individuals using Sullivan's Antifa server began discussing plans to look up blueprints for tax buildings online so that they could firebomb them by throwing fireworks into broken windows, Mr. Pope wrote. In addition to this, Antifa conspirators on Sullivan's server began sharing tactical plans for attacking police lines using a Roman legion formation, unquote. Discord server coordination. Mr. Kelly and Mr. Grimes were clearly conspiring with John Sullivan and using Sullivan's online server, Mr. Pope wrote. On December 29, 2020, John Sullivan posted an image of firearms and tactical gear on his Antifa server, along with the message, civil war and revolution. My gosh. What can you say about this? Well, let me see what retired Marine Colonel Fred Peterson has to say about it. Colonel Peterson, what can you say as an attorney yourself? What can you say about what this evidence reveals about the seriousness of the government's investigation of this quote unquote insurrection?
As an American, occupation aside, as an American, no one can look at this and not be profoundly disturbed, not only disturbed at the actions that have been committed, but at the response of quote unquote our own government, end quote. Major question mark and boldface following that. Is this our government that is tolerating this? We don't deny that there are people out there, that there are movements out there, that there are countries and interests out there who seek to overthrow the civil order in America, because America, being that bright shining light as it has been to the world for liberty, is now being subverted from within, where this kind of behavior is not only tolerated, but rewarded and funded. And we are being corrupted from the bottom up and from the inside out, literally. It is time for Americans to open their eyes, stand up, and say no more. This will not stand. Not only that, it's not enough to identify it, to nod and say, oh, yes, this is such bad behavior, but to actually do something about it. It is the preservation of American liberty, and therefore, in this age of AI and high tech, the liberty as an ideal for the world requires us to rise up and have reasonable response to this, but to act. Otherwise, we will suffer the consequences and our children will never know the country we knew.
This is astounding news and great reporting. As I said, we've uh, We have had Mr. Hanneman on the air with on this broadcast before, and he and I worked together on some aspects of the January 6th investigation, and for which I've also reported on this broadcast. This is very serious in the sense that it uncovers an effort by the U.S. government to cover up what really happened on January 6th, something we've been alluding to and talking about since it happened. And what's further, even more dangerous, is the lack of so-called news media interest in finding out what this is about and how these people were released, not even charged or had the charges dropped against them in almost every case regarding Antifa. And one of the reasons is it hurts the narrative. If you find Antifa involved in January 6th, suddenly it does change the narrative. It was not an insurrection by Trump supporters. What was the role that Antifa played? And as I've reported on this broadcast in the past, they were some of the instigators. Now, like I said in the first segment, we know there were Trump supporters who did bad things, engaged in riotous behavior. But suddenly, you've got one group, Antifa, the exact opposite of the MAGA group, and they were actually spoiling for a revolution. The very thing that the MAGA people have been charged with, and no one is lifting a finger to investigate. It's like the riots all over again, where the media is standing in front of towns on fire and reporting it's a mostly peaceful protest. It is unbelievable in that sense. And we will stay on this, and I know a lot of other journalists are going to stay on this for a long time. Until we get answers.
Have another word on that. Actually, and someone who has had some background and experience in PSYOPs, psychological operations, and in this kind of manipulation of opinion and manipulation of fact in order to achieve an ulterior end, that was so evident on that day. The people who were there, I hesitate to say, because the popularization of this is that it was a huge riot and all of that. And it was in certain places, but this was a manipulation. The people who were, there were caricatures that were created. For instance, the horns and the nut jobs that were there created an image in the mind that you could say, oh, look, they're all crazy, they're all this, they're all that. But that serves an end to paint a picture, a vivid picture in the mind, and create an impression of what the Trump supporters were like on that day. And yet, Trump, at that time, when this was going on at the Capitol, was nowhere near it. He was still speaking to a group a half mile away down the common. There was nowhere near. This was orchestrated and it was tolerated. There was not one weapon found on the part of the people who are accused of being rioters and attempting to revolutionary movement and overthrow a government, not one weapon. The weapons were found on the other side. The manipulation, the money was on the other side. This characterization, this is profoundly disturbing, and it needs a thorough, good faith, truth-seeking investigation to find what the truth is about this. Follow the money trails. Who was paying what to whom? Where did it come from? Where did it go? And what are the consequences of that? Who was involved? And who on both sides? On one side, you have people who will back off and say, well, I don't want to be identified. I don't want to be, I don't want to make any accusations or anything like that. this calls for courage and character and commitment to the American ideal, to actually stand up. And when your country, when your ideal is being challenged, if you do nothing, it is your choice and you will suffer the consequences of that choice, or you will enjoy and pass on the fruits of your courage and character and labor to what comes after us. It is our choice. We will reap the fruits of our decisions either way.
And that's an excellent point. And the right now in the media, there has been more attention paid by the so-called news media in this country to a very junior second term congresswoman named Lauren Boebert from Colorado, who was caught vaping at an event in Denver this week. And there has been more media coverage. It's all over Twitter. By the way, you can follow us on Twitter at NewsCap Group. You can see when I respond to these so-called journalists and ask them where they've been on these other reports. In fact, you can I'll explain to them the facts and evidence. But it's been all over Twitter and the news media about Lauren Boebert being caught. You know, no interest in Joe Biden's family corruption, but plenty of interest in Lauren Boebert sneaking a vape at a public event. And she has provided a response claiming whether it was the excitement of seeing a much anticipated production or the natural anxiety of being in a new environment. I genuinely did not recall vaping that evening when I discussed the night's events with my campaign team while confirming my enthusiasm for the musical. But she is the reason this is out is because Jonathan Martin, the executive editor of Politico and formerly of Time magazine, Jonathan Martin tweeted this out, and with the overzealous intern, the candidate, just outrageous. So I said to Jonathan Martin, the evidence of massive corruption in the Biden family doesn't matter because Lauren Boebert was caught vaping. Keep your eyes peeled in case she decides to eat a Twinkie or something that could threaten the Republic. So this is the kind of things we deal with. But if you follow us at NewsCap Group, at NewsCap Group on Twitter, you can see how we respond and how we point out the corruption that is endemic in the news media right now. Now, let's move on to, I should ask Colonel Peterson, do you have a thought on the Boebert situation?
I just think that it is a bright, shining bauble that they attract attention to while serious threats are made and actually actions committed against our republic. They find a bright, shining bauble, or they make it bright and shining and try to plug it in and put it in a fluorescent color in order to distract your attention away from what is really happening. It's almost laughable in a real world. But do we still live in a real world? We need a world of character and courage to stand up to this, to see the truth, first to know the truth, then to see it, and then to say, you will not lie to us any longer. We won't accept it. We're standing for truth. We're standing for America. And so is Boebert. Seriously. To tolerate what they are tolerating in the real threat to the Republic and the media, as you have stated, Scott, not even to notice it so that they can go to their fancy pants restaurant and sip their tea or whatever they have and and ignore the real threat to the Republic and all get together and get paid by whomever is behind the shiny curtain there, pulling the strings and paying the price. We are ultimately paying the price, and it's a dear price indeed. In an age of tech and AI, I don't know if we can survive this unless we do the right thing now. Now is now, and that's not to tolerate evil, only to seek truth and to act.
There is, we're going to shift gears here in just a second. When we come back from in the third segment here, we'll talk about the impeachment inquiry of Joe Biden. But one more thing on this, there's another propagandist, Democrat Party hack who calls herself an investigative journalist. Her name is Heidi Prisbola. I've been critiquing her failed work as a journalist for several years now, and another major talk show host picked up on it recently and was discussing it. But she is unbelievable. Her name is Heidi Prisbola. She's now at Politico. She's been at different ones, calling herself an investigative journalist. And she recently tweeted out a message saying, for those of you who don't get your news from billionaire funded right wing news sources, there is no evidence connecting Joe Biden to his son's business dealings. Yeah, right. This is from a so-called mainstream media investigative reporter, if you can call them that. Their argument is against the facts. The politics alone would destroy Biden. And if Democrats, as I pointed out to her at the time, yeah, there's not enough evidence to accuse Biden, but there's 1,000 times more evidence than needed to convict a Republican. And that's just the way it is. But the news media will stay affixed on that. Here's another one about Corey Lewandowski and the governor of South Dakota, Kristi Noem, having an extramarital affair. That will take up a lot of the media's coverage while they continue to use this outrageous lie that there is no evidence connecting Joe Biden to his son's business dealings. We're going to deal with that when we come back with Colonel Peterson right after this short timeout. You're listening to TNT Radio's Through the Looking Glass. I'm Scott Wheeler in Washington, D.C.
With his expert analysis and opinion,
this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
What is a cat? Clearly a dog could be a cat, right? They both have fur. They both have tails and ears. They both have whiskers and sharp pointy teeth that enable them to dine on your face should you suffer the misfortune to assume room temperature home alone in their presence. They both have claws that need to be clipped lest they not only rouse you from your slumber to meet their demands, but scratch you mercilessly with them if you don't do it fast enough for their liking. They'll both leave you messages by pooping where they shouldn't, just so you get the message. Both of them require you to spend a fortune on their care and feeding, not to mention meeting their every medical necessity. Both of them require you to frequently purchase new toys as they quickly tire of or destroy the old ones. So what is a cat? Well, just as they can distinguish a man from a woman, even a toddler can tell the difference between a dog and a cat. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
Are you finding it harder to do the things you used to do, like vacuuming or getting to appointments? If you need a bit of support at home, the Australian Government's My Aged Care is your starting point to access services. You'll find all the information and advice you need in the one place. To find out about other services, eligibility and costs, call 1800 200 422 or go to myagedcare.gov.au. Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra, spoken by Heather Christie.
Investigating and reporting on government corruption and overreach. You're listening to Scott Wheeler and Through the Looking Glass on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to Through the Looking Glass on TNT Radio. I'm Scott Wheeler from Washington, D.C. We are speaking with retired Marine Colonel.
Careful.
Well, he was reaching for his saber as I said that. Retired Marine Colonel Fred Peterson. Right now, we're going to change subjects to the biggest story of the week, and that is the House impeachment inquiry. This from the Wall Street Journal. Say this for the Biden White House. It knows its media audience. It was, agreeing with our commentary on the media and its loyalties. It was thus no surprise that after House Speaker Kevin McCarthy announced the opening of an impeachment inquiry this week, White House spokesman Ian Sams gave the press its marching orders. This is a direct quote from a memo that the White House released to the press. That's very incriminating. If I were a journalist, I'd be humiliated if Trump sent me a memo when he was president, covering the White House. If Trump sent me a memo telling me how to cover an issue, I would be furious. And everybody in the press corps also should be now. It's, quote, it's time for the media to ramp up its scrutiny of House Republicans for opening an inquiry based on lies, unquote, he wrote in a memo to news outlets. Much of the press proceeded to report that Republicans have, quote, no evidence, unquote, to justify investigating the president. It's true. So the White House gives them their marching orders right out in the open, right out in public. As I said, I would be furious. I'm a credentialed White House correspondent. I am furious over this. It is outrageous. And I do not believe that I've seen the requisite outrage from other reporters, especially from the ones we call Democrat Party propagandists who cross-dress as journalists. So the Wall Street Journal on the editorial page says, Kentucky Representative James Comer, the House Oversight Committee chairman, this week outlined evidence that Republicans have already gathered. It's some list, the journal says. Former Hunter business partner Devin Archer says Joe Biden was the brand being sold and that as vice president, he participated by speakerphone with Hunter and his business associates at least 20 times, and that he also met or dined with Hunter and his foreign associates. This included Russian oligarchs, a Ukrainian executive being investigated for corruption, and a Chinese business partner for whose daughter, Mr. Archer, thinks Joe Biden wrote a college letter of recommendation. Compare this to the evidence Democrats manufactured to claim Trump had colluded with Russia. And let me again express my parenthetically, I am not a Trump supporter now. I've been defending him for 7 years, but I am not a Trump supporter in this next election. But he's better than any of the Democrats for sure. We also know that Vice President Biden okayed talking points on the Ukrainian company Burisma, supplied by Hunter business associate Eric Schwerin. We know that State Department's George Kent warned Mr. Biden in 2015 that Hunter's presence on the board of Burisma was being used to undermine America's anti-corruption message. Let me remind folks on this broadcast just a couple of weeks ago, I explained that the Obama administration was aware of this corruption, of that what Biden was doing. They knew about it, and that's why Obama told him, you're not running for president in 2016, because they knew, they were at that time, they were selling this fiction, this fantasy of an Obama scandal-free presidency. And if Biden ran for president, all this would have come out in 2016 and exposed, of course, by his Democrat opponents, because in 2016, if Trump had brought it out, they would have called it Russian disinformation at that time. But his Democrat opponents would have brought it up, and it would have been hard for them to defend, and it would have besmirched Obama. And I told, at that time, I reported, told everybody here that, yes, The State Department was telling Joe Biden that his son was getting them in trouble with regards to their anti-corruption message in Ukraine. The man's name was Joe Kent. There were others also, by the way, that'll come out in the future. But let me, at this point, let me turn to Colonel Peterson. First of all, were House Republicans right to launch an impeachment inquiry of Joe Biden? And secondly, have they done it right? And is there evidence connecting the Biden, Joe Biden, to his family's corrupt business practices?
I believe that there are some that would say and criticize House Republicans in not filing an impeachment with the abundant, overwhelming evidence that is available now already, and instead launching an inquiry to impeachment. And this may be a Capitol Hill la-la little ploy in order to buy time and buy cover in order to, we just don't know. What I would say is this does, there are advantages to what they have done. Rather than impeaching immediately, they do a thorough, deep, wide investigation into virtually everything that could be grounds for impeachment. And this is long, long overdue and utterly essential for the preservation of what we have in this country and in the world. Yes, this must be done. I hope that we will find the character on the part of the House to actually, and on the part of the this inquiry to carry on in a deep and wide investigation to find what is clearly the abundant evidence now publicly available for anyone who really has the good faith to look for it and the good faith to act upon and the good character to act upon what they find. They are able to find more. Simply bank records, a very simple thing. Bank records, readily available, not tamperable. And to find that alone, that's only one of scores of areas of investigation that they have open to them now. Yes, I heartily believe that this is a good thing that they're going to do. The question is, will they have the courage to actually do it deeply and widely and with good character and come up with conclusions that are helpful to the preservation of liberty and as we know it in this country. Thank you.
The journal also lists some other evidence that no one in the media is talking about apart from this broadcast and a few others. An FBI informant has told the Bureau that Mykola Zalewski, Burisma CEO, paid $5 million each in bribes to Hunter and Joe. Now, this was an FBI informant that told the FBI, and it was taken seriously for a little while, and then it was kind of dismissed and covered up, sent to the dustbin. The $5 million each for Joe and for Hunter. This hasn't been corroborated. More recently, we learned that Hunter business partner James Gilyar emailed Hunter and other associates that 10% of a deal with Chinese energy firm CEFC was to go to the big guy, unquote, quote unquote, the big guy. Former Hunter business partner Tony Bobulinski has said the big guy was Joe Biden. The Biden money trail goes through at least 20 shell companies. The vice president used different email pseudonyms. We learned that just a couple of weeks ago. And at least 170 financial transactions related to Hunter's or Joe's brother, James, were flagged to the Treasury as suspicious. A pair of IRS agents, Gary Shapley and Joseph Ziegler, told Congress that the Justice Department undermined their investigation into Hunter Biden's emails and tax filings. Mr. Biden has obfuscated all of this from the start, such as denying in a 2020 campaign debate that his family had received money from China. He also invoked a phony talking point cooked up by 51 former intelligence officers to declare Hunter's infamous laptop Russian disinformation. His administration has stonewalled House efforts to get to the information it seeks, and now up a war room to fight an inquiry. They stood up a war room. Now, so Colonel Peterson, the fact that they have gone to this trouble to disclaim all this information, the fact that they organized the 51 intelligence agents to sign a letter that was drafted by a Democrat operative, is that evidence of that it might be true?
Well, I think we have abundant evidence, not just if anyone of good faith would look at this, at least with professional journalistic inquiry, they would want to know more if they are of good faith. What we have are business associates over 16 times having White House visits over 80 times that include dining with Burisma executives and just numerous corrupt $20 million flowing to foreign interests via a web of shell companies to the Bidens. And here we don't have curiosity on the part of the media. Is this integrity? What are they teaching in journalism school today? This is so blatant and so audacious, and there is so much power and money and influence flowing through this that someone must stand up and say no. I look at what we used to look at as major media sources. Now they have become mini-me's, just little squeakers out there doing their own bidding. And in fact, their grammar and their pronunciations and all the rest of it are not even edited anymore either. If any of you have noticed, it's appalling. The depths to which our own media and our information sources have fallen. We need them. They are an essential part of preserving what we have. And let's hope that they wake up before it's too late.
So the inquiry will go on. Whether or not it leads to an impeachment hearing, it'll require a floor vote, and not even all Republicans are on board. For some reason, there are some stalwarts resisting, which is beyond me. I mean, it appears that the only way we're going to get to the bottom of this and find out how much is true, how much is accurate, and how much Biden was involved. But it does, something came back to me. You probably recall this, Colonel Peterson, from the 80s. You remember the Iran-Contra scandal, and Barney Frank himself, who was a member of Congress then, back in the 80s, said it was impossible for President Reagan not to have known what NSC advisor Oliver North was doing with regard to arranging funding for arms shipments to the Contras, the Nicaraguan freedom fighters. It was impossible for him not to get to know. And he always referred to it as, because it was going on in the basement of the White House, which really isn't true. The NSC is over in the old executive office building across the street. But he said, the Democrats kept this mantra going for years. How could Reagan not have known about Iran-Contra? It was happening in the basement of the White House, they said. And yet here we have the Biden family, his own family. He's showing up to meetings and his son's collecting big checks.
Children are getting deposits from bank accounts from around the world, just appearing in their account. And they have multiple accounts, hundreds of millions of dollars. This is crazy. this is crazy, and we've got to say no.
That this is, and so it does speak directly to the point that, well, his son, he didn't know what his son was doing. Really? that is just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the corrupt media in this country. It is so bad that you can't believe a word they say on any given day. It's like that famous image of the CNN reporter standing in front of the flames, mostly peaceful. and it's sort of an emblem. Remember Baghdad Bob saying they were whipping U.S. troops as he was at the airport in Baghdad, saying we've outpaced the U.S. American soldiers, and the war is going to be over soon. We're going to overtake them, even while had just vanquished the entire Iraqi army. You were there, I believe, in that one. And they had Baghdad Bob openly making a state, and he became a symbol of a joke for the for disinformation. And we have the same thing going on now. And I think that is a great emblem, that that CNN reporter standing in front of the town on fire saying it's a mostly peaceful demonstration, I think is the emblem for how utterly corrupt and dishonest the media is. And they've all made themselves Baghdad Bobs for the Democrat Party. We are out of time. Colonel Peterson, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you all for listening. Check us out at NewsCap Group on Twitter. We hope you will tune in again next week. We will continue the pace of uncovering the lies that are being covered up in the United States. For TNT's Through the Looking Glass, I'm Scott Wheeler, signing off from Washington, D.C.